Back here on 560, the Joe WQAM, Zach Duarte, Rashad Butler. We have no idea what we're doing here today.
Hey, you know what? This music, I can work out to.
Okay. There you go.
Because you know what? It's mostly like, listen, I like the instrumentals.
You like the instrumentals of my music.
Well,
too, then.
Listen, I think with yours, it's just
Did you see the videos I sent you?
Listen, it's just okay. Listen, we got to get into that. So anyone that knows me, listen, I'm a type of guy. My music taste, it varies. The only type of music I really don't care for is country, and I'm not really big on reggae. So country and reggae for me is a two thumbs down. But I can do rock. And some alternative, but sometimes with alternative they yell too much. So Zach had on his story, his IG story, I guess people breaking down.
It's a reaction video.
Yeah. So people were breaking down the reactions of like alternative music, and it was just like a lot of rah rah rah. So this one girl, she says for her reaction, oh my God, that was like pure perfection. And I'm thinking to myself like. What was perfection about that? Like, you just heard someone yelling at the top of their lungs over instrumentals. Like, how is that pure perfection? But the way she said it just had me in tears. Like, listen, I was just dying laughing. Dying laughing.
Did you see the one of the...
The guy?
The little kid. Please explain that
one. Oh, man. I swear, man. Like, the taste that some people have. But listen, I respect it because, I mean, that's what makes us, you know... beautiful human beings that, you know, we all have different tastes in a lot of different things.
I love watching reaction videos because I love watching people's reactions to my music. Like, it's just great. I've actually thought of like doing a reaction channel. Like, just like oh my God. Like, just reacting to different music. Speaking of music, Tool announced they're coming to South Florida. Now, Tool, man. Okay. Oh, man. If you like instrumentals, Rashad.
Okay.
Tool. I don't know if you know Tool, Dan Day.
If you want to see them, you better get your tickets the second they go on sale because they sell out everywhere immediately.
Yes. Very, very, very big band. And they just dropped their first album in like 12 years.
Uh-huh. Maynard.
A few months ago. One of those like super psychedelic trippy bands.
Yeah.
But really, really good. Like very talented musicians. No screaming. Mm-hmm. None of that stuff. They just announced they're coming to American Airlines Arena. So on I think April 16th.
Okay.
So... yep, gonna put a day off of work then. That's for sure. Got to get down to the AAA to get my tickets. But it was funny because Zaslow and Amber were on until 2 o'clock, and Zaslow during the break went out to go get some water or whatever.
Uh huh.
And the show came back and he wasn't back yet. So Amber's like, just get on the mic. I was like, okay, cool. And then on the computer, on Zaslow's computer, is the Ticketmaster screen to get tickets for Tool.
Oh my God!
And I'm like, yo, man, you better get me a ticket, man.
Favorite Tool song.
Ooh, wow. Favorite Tool song. I like 46 and 2.
Yeah, that's a good one. I also like The Pot because it's just kind of weird.
That is. That's the one where he starts with super
Who
high.
Are you to not be?
Rashad has no idea.
No idea.
And we don't have any of these songs in the system, do we?
No idea.
No, I'm looking for Sober. I'm looking for 46 and 2. I'm looking for Giambi. Anything,
sober
nothing.
Sober is used, like the backtrack is used for a lot. You know?
It's everywhere.
Yeah, it's like one of those songs that you... Rashad might have heard before, he just never knows.
But Tool fans, like, they know every song equally. They love every song equally, like from the beginning to the end.
And each song is like 8 minutes long.
So, so I'm going to make you guys laugh for a second. The reason I got into alternative music or rock, whatever you want to call it, was because I was big on playing Madden when I was in college. And
they used to diversify the music so much more back
then. I agree. And I remember like bands like Blink 182, Good Charlotte.
They had Thrice on there.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, my God. Andrew WK.
Yeah.
You know, the song that we lead into the Zach Duarte show with was on Madden. So.
Yeah.
Man, the soundtrack used to be so much more diversified.
No, I agree.
Yeah. Now I haven't played Madden in a few years now, but it's last time I played it was like there was no rock songs.
I haven't played Madden in like close to a decade.
Well, all I know is the Dolphins stole my Madden strategy, because that's what I would do in Madden. It's funny because my mom, I did an interview today for radio.com earlier today, and it was like a Skype interview. So I had to like look all fancy in the dungeon in my mom's house. And so my mom could hear like what I was saying.
Yeah.
Like, oh, so what are the Dolphins doing? And I was like, well, basically, the Dolphins did what I've done in Madden since I was 12, which is take over a really bad team trade everybody.
Okay.
Get as many draft picks as you possibly can. Have as much money to spend in free agency as you can. And rebuild in 2 years. And they're in a really good position right now.
They are. I agree.
And my mom understood. I was like, the Dolphins have six draft picks in the first, like, you know, 70 picks in the draft. They have $100+ million to spend on any players they want to sign in free agency, and they're in a position of power. Like they can go get basically whoever they want, except for Joe Burrow.
Now, how do you feel about the new rumor that's out there now that the Dolphins are possibly interested in trading up from that 18th pick to acquire a tackle with the quarterback?
I think that they might need to do that.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because I think I don't know all the four tackles off the top of my head, but I think Jedrick Wills,
Mekhi Becton,
Werfs,
and Andrew Thomas, and then Josh Jones.
I think Josh Jones will be available later in the first.
Yeah,
round.
I think so too.
I don't think any of those other four will.
Correct.
Even at 18.
No, I agree.
So I think that would be a good idea because that's what they need.
Yeah.
1,000%.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll take the other first round pick to do that unless they're going from 18 to 8, you know.
For me, I would be ecstatic if they're able to come out of the first round with Tua Tagovailoa and either.
If I want one of those four, it's worse.
Yeah. Ooh, see, for me, it's Jedrick Wills.
I'm sorry. I meant Wills, Alabama tackle. That's the one I want. Worst
exactly.
is Iowa. Yeah.
But I do like Mekhi Becton because you have a guy that is
I just feel
humongous.
Like there's a little bit of unknown with Mekhi.
True, yeah. But again, I mean, you have a guy that looks like Bryant McKinney. I mean, I haven't seen a tackle that big since BMAC, when I played with BMAC at University of Miami. So if Mekhi Becton happens to be available – I would definitely make that move and try to
acquire
him.
Which, like, 2 months ago, he was available in, like, the third round.
I know. It's crazy, right? Crazy.
Nobody knew who Mekhi Becton was.
But now he is shooting up the draft boards.
Yeah. So I think, I mean, this next 2 months for the Dolphins is going to be so much fun.
Uh-huh. It is.
It's going to be so much fun. But I got to say this, man. They got to get Tua.
Oh, absolutely.
Got to get
absolutely.
Him.
No doubt. No, listen.
If the Dolphins come away with Justin Herbert,
ooh.
It's going to be that. You know, you ever watch The Price is Right?
Yes.
Like when they lose in the game?
Uh-huh. I'll say this. If they come away with Justin Herbert, it's going to be hard to just really overlook the things that this kid doesn't do well. And to me, I think the one thing that is underlining to me that he doesn't do as well as the others, as far as Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, Jordan Love, is – he just doesn't have the ability to improvise. Like, I haven't seen once at Oregon where they allowed him or he himself has cut it loose. I just feel like he's just too scripted for my liking. And I feel like to be successful as a starting quarterback in this league, you look at guys like Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. One of the things those three guys do very well is they're able to make something out of nothing when the play breaks down. You know what I mean? And Justin Herbert just hasn't shown me that at the college level. Now, I'm not trying to say that he can't show us that at the professional level, but again, I think all we have to go off of right now is what we have seen thus far at the college level, and he has just not shown us that ability to improvise.
That's Rashad Butler. I'm Zach Duarte. We'll be on the air till 3 o'clock. Yeah, a little afternoon delight here on 560 The Joe, WQAM. We're going up against Mark Hochman and Alex Dono. So we all know who you're tuning into. If you want to follow us on Twitter, by the way, I'm at 790 Zach. Rashad is at Rashad Jamal B. Jamal's with two A's.
Mm-hmm.
I posted a pretty funny pic. I thought it was a funny picture.
No, it was.
I somehow, some way, some loser in this building wore a UCF alumni hat and left it in our studios.
Uh-huh.
So I picked up the hat and I threw it in the trash can, and I took a photo of it and I put it on Twitter. So if you want to retweet that, at 790 Zach.
You know who I think did it?
Who?
Our new resident fill-in producer, Manuel.
Manuel?
Because he is a UCF alum. That's the only person I know in this building right now that's a UCF alum. I don't know anyone else that's a UCF alum.
I don't want that
alum.
Trash in this building.
Yeah.
Okay? Let it be known. Let it be known that I do not want that UCF trash in this building.
Okay.
That will not be allowed here. Okay? Dan Day, you said something to me before the show. They lost to Tulane.
Their basketball team lost to Tulane, and Tulane is hot garbage and everything.
Get that trash out of here.
Oh, man.
If there's anyone who knows Tulane sports, it's Dan Day.
That's right.
Huh?
The Green Wave.
Huh?
You guys had Sean King back in the days, man.
You guys.
Yes. Well.
They did.
Well, they did. Yeah, you're right, because you are LSU, my bad. But, right. I mean, listen, it's the what the New Orleans area, Louisiana, the state.
There no go. One goes to Tulane. It's all rich East Coast kids. True story.
So is Tulane the UCF of Louisiana?
Yes.
Got it. Now okay. I understand much more about Tulane.
Okay.
Nobody likes Tulane's ass either, okay?
The Green Wave, right?
Get Tulane and get UCF out of here.
It's an uptown rich person school in a rich Garden District area of New Orleans.
Okay.
Are they as delusional as UCF people?
No.
All right. Well, then.
No one's that bad.
2017 national champs, baby.
Oh, my gosh.
Throw that parade.
Man, I swear.
Throw all that in the garbage. All right. Anyways, we've hyped that up. I've kept that alive for a while. Going back to what we were talking about there, Rashad. Here's what I feel about the Dolphins moving up to 3 in the draft. I'm for it. I really hate to give away one of those first round picks.
But you're gonna have to.
See, I don't think that's true. Now let's go back and forth about it because there's a lot of scenarios that could happen. There's only two other teams that can offer another first round pick this year, right?
Mm-hmm. I know.
But if you're Detroit, let me put you in Matt Patricia's shoes. Here,
okay.
Right?
I'm all ears.
You're on the hot seat.
Okay.
Right? Who in the draft are you going to draft that's going to make an immediate impact and help you win games?
Jeff Okuda.
Okay. You ain't doing that at 7.
True. You're not.
So you could still do that at 4 because I don't think the Giants are going to take Okuda.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Correct.
The Dolphins trade up with you at 3. You're going to get, let's say the Dolphins, if Dolphins give you 39, Dolphins say, hey, I'll give you 5 and 39 to move up from 5 to 3.
Okay.
You still get your guy and you get another second round pick, a top 8 second round pick.
Mm-hmm.
You're not taking that? You're not taking that deal?
I hear you, and I think your point is very, very valid. But here's the cat and mouse game, because you're not on the phone with the two teams behind Miami as far as Carolina and, well, the Chargers and the Panthers. And if I'm Matt Patricia or if I'm the GM of the Lions, I'm doing my best sell a job impersonation to where I'm making the Dolphins think that, hey, either the Chargers or the Panthers are giving me a boatload to move up.
You know what?
Now, the question is, Chris Greer, whether or not you believe that, or how much of it do you believe?
You know what I would do if I was Chris Greer and the Lions traded that pick to either Carolina or San Diego?
Uh-huh.
That means that the Lions are going to be right behind me.
Uh-huh.
What are you going to trade me to get Jeff Okuda?
Yeah.
What are you going to trade me now to get Jeff Okuda?
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm going to find another team that wants Jeff Okuda.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
Yeah. What are you going to trade me? Then you're probably going to lose out on all the quarterbacks.
I would think so.
But, okay, like because I understand that either Carolina or the Chargers can offer next year's first-round pick.
Yeah,
right?
They can. Yeah.
I understand that. But I don't think what they can offer Detroit is the opportunity to still get the guy that they want this year's draft and more draft capital.
Mm-hmm.
I think only the Dolphins can do that.
True. I agree.
Because I think if they go any further than 6, that they are at risk. And, you know, I don't know their draft plan. I agree with you. I think that the best prospect for them, because they seriously need cornerback help, is Jeff Okuda.
Yeah, no, I agree.
They had a really good team there before Matt Stafford got hurt.
Indeed,
remember,
they
were 2-0-1, and they got screwed on Monday Night Football with that hands-to-the-face game against the Packers. They would have been 3-0-1 before the Matthew Stafford injury. And he was playing
a
Pro Bowl level before the injury the first month of the season.
He was.
So you add another top-5 corner to that team,
mm-hmm.
and, I mean, that's a playoff-ish team if Matthew Stafford is healthy.
Yeah.
Okay? So that's where I think the Dolphins are obviously, they're not only bargaining from a position of power in terms of their draft capital,
yeah.
but in terms of, hey, if Okuda is the guy you want, you're not getting him at 6 or 7.
I agree. I don't think you are.
There will be another team back in the draft that will trade me another second-round pick to move from 5 to 9.
Yes.
You know? Mm-hmm. That desperately needs that cornerback.
Oh, Jacksonville.
Philadelphia. Because there's a bunch of teams that will trade me a lot.
Because it's funny because the two teams you talked about outside of Miami that have multiple picks, Jacksonville is one of them.
And Oakland.
Yeah, and with Las Vegas. And Jacksonville,
whatever.
They got rid of Jalen Ramsey. So that is a position that
I'm sure they will look to fill in this draft. And, I mean, again, if Okuda happens to slip past Detroit, you're right. I could see Jacksonville possibly trading up and going after
him. If I'm the Dolphins, I think Jacksonville's at 12. I'll say
9.
Jacksonville's at 9?
Uh-huh, 9.
Who's at, is it Oakland at 12?
Las Vegas. Yeah, they're at 12.
I am so bad when teams change names.
It takes a while.
I'm still calling them the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, yeah. No, it takes a while.
I call Jacksonville. I say, you give me 9.
Uh-huh.
Give me a second-round pick and a fourth-round pick next year.
Uh-huh.
Make this happen right now.
Okay.
I'll take that trade.
Okay.
Boom. Dolphins will probably not address quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't think Herbert will be there either. So.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe, hey, give me a first round pick. Give me 9. Give me a first round next year.
Well, listen, I think Jacksonville is a good trading partner for them to move up from 18 to maybe 9.
Wait, Jacksonville has, I think Jacksonville has 9 and 19, right?
Yes. No, 9. Yeah, 9 and, yeah, you're right.
They
have
the Rams
pick.
The Rams were
correct.
The last team out of the playoffs.
Yeah, 9 and 19.
9 and 19.
Uh huh.
But I don't think they're going to package those two picks.
I mean, again, I just think, if you want to come away with a big-time tackle to go along with your big-time quarterback, and we're all assuming that they draft Tua at number 5, I think you're going to have to trade up from that number 18 spot. To get
oh,
one.
You mean the Dolphins?
Yeah, the Dolphins.
Okay.
Sorry,
yeah.
Because I think Jacksonville could be a trading partner, a good trading partner for them to move up and grab a tackle.
See, for me, I just, based off the fact that 2 years ago, uh-huh, the Jets went from 6 to 3 and didn't have to give up another first-round pick. They give up 3 second-round picks.
Yeah, but the reason I'm saying that, because you look at the two teams, I think, that are behind Jacksonville, and that is the New York Jets and the Cleveland Browns. And those two teams are in need of a tackle. Now, Adam Gates is a moron, so I can see Adam Gates going with the flashy pick.
A running back?
Yeah, something like that.
No, he won't have a running back.
Like a wide receiver, something like
Jordan
that.
Jordan Love.
But those are two teams that are very much in need of a offensive tackle. So I feel like Miami, if you want to grab one of those elite offensive tackles, you're going to have to move up from 18 and ahead of both
the Cleveland Browns and the
New York Jets.
For the Dolphins to jump up from 18 to 9,
uh-huh,
then I do think it would take the other first-round pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely – then Jacksonville would have – whoo, they would have what? 18, 20, 26 – they'd have 3 first-round picks in the draft. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they could do that. I want the Dolphins to try everything possible to not give up. And again, remember, I'm coming at this from, I don't think Dolphins are going to make 3 for day one selections.
Okay, you know what? At first, I didn't see that, but now I agree with you 100%.
But I also don't think that my argument there that uh-huh, the Dolphins will not make 3 day one selections does not come from the idea that they're going to trade another first-round pick for Tua. I think the Dolphins, if they had their dream scenario, will trade back from the 26th pick and acquire more draft picks. That's what I think the Dolphins are going to do.
Well, now I believe that if they are very much in play with one of these 4 elite tackles, then I think that they're going to have to move up from 18.
I would agree with you there.
And again, if you're going to move up from 18, you're going to have to package number 26.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to have to.
No, I would agree with you there.
Yeah.
All right, that's Rashad Butler. I'm Zach Dwartier. We'll be on the air till 3 o'clock here on 560 The Joe. I want to get more into this Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder fight. Now, I'm not a boxing fan, but let me tell you, man, this made me pay attention. It made me pay attention. We'll talk about it next here on 560 The Joe, WQAM. Oh, Rashad. Come on, man. Isn't this good?
Okay, so this is Tool?
This is Tool.
Okay. It's not bad right here.
Oh, it's about to kick in.
It's so good, man. I mean, but the songs,
I can sense it, too.
They take long to develop because they're like, you know, they're rock ballads, man.
Listen, like I said, great workout music for me, man.
Tool is so good. I just want to, can we just not do the segment? Just let the song play? Like, can we do that?
Oh, I hear it.
It's building.
I hear it.
It's building. Okay, just let the song like seep under the undertones of this segment.
We'll just do this whole segment with 46 and 2 underneath it.
Oh my gosh. This song is so good.
That's the song, 46
and 2? 46 and 2, yeah.
Okay. What does that stand for?
I have no idea.
46-2.
Something like they're very like you know, third eye okay. kind okay. of band. So like the singer Maynard, if you ever see him live, like he doesn't stand in the front like a traditional singer.
Okay.
He'll like sing by the drummer
uh-huh.
or even behind the drummer.
Yeah.
It's a very
he doesn't always face the audience either.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a very interesting band. When I saw them at BB&T like 5 years ago, and it was just a giant puff of smoke.
Uh-huh.
And also a giant light show.
Okay.
And I of course, you know, don't partake in that, so I'm like, oh, all these lights. They're so pretty.
Yeah.
But great show, man. Great. Oh, now they're coming to American Airlines Arena. Yes. Oh. Is it kicking in now? Here we go. Put it up, Dan! Oh, there it is, man. Ah, it's so good. Love this song. This was in the system, Dan? Dan, love
sure.
it too, man.
I see what you did, Dan.
Put it in the system.
I see what you did.
Tool needs to be in the system. You know?
By the way, like that one girl said, pure perfection.
I know there is a God because that was pure perfection.
Yes, said. Man. Yeah. Oh, my God.
I love it. Again, Rashad Butler and I here on 560 The Joe WQAM. We figured it out. We figured out why we're on the air.
Yeah, we are. Right? We are. We did.
We figured out we're on the air because the Kobe Bryant Memorial is happening uh-huh. right now on ESPN. So instead of airing that, we'll give you some live local sports radio up until 3 o'clock. And then at 3, we will join the Hockman and Crowder simulcast. Now, we've been going over the events of the sports weekend, right?
Uh-huh.
We went over the Dwayne Wade Legacy Tribute. Went over the Miami Heat. We did 5 minutes of hockey.
We did
5 minutes of hockey,
uh-huh.
which I mean for South Florida, that's
it's tough.
Yeah, man, that's tough. But one of the biggest things that happened this weekend was the boxing match between Tyson Fury
uh-huh.
and Deontay Wilder.
Correct.
Now I'm not a boxing fan. It's too subjective.
I'm kind of torn, but I watch it.
Ah, there it is again. Here it comes. They're so talented, man. They're so talented. Thank
I
you,
like
Dan.
It.
Just keep interrupting the segment with that. That's fine.
I like it, Dan.
I'll allow it. Then play some Lateralis and The Grudge and The Pot and 10,000 Days and what's the new song called? Fear Inoculum. Is that what it's called now? Fear Inoculum? Yeah, there we go.
That'll take us through the rest of the show.
Just like two songs will take us through the rest
yeah,
of the show.
Yeah, it's got some long joints.
Yeah, yeah. They're long songs there. There it is, Rashad. Rashad's going to jam out the Tool now. Oh, that's the bass right
Let's
there.
You know what it is? I always need music like this on my leg days because leg days are just like they're a struggle to get through. So music like this, listen, anyone that knows me for my leg days, it's always alternative or rock.
Yes. Get you some Tool, man.
Now, my hip-hop days are mostly like upper body.
Okay.
You know, but leg days, I need like a little extra motivation to kind of get through like those lunges and those squats, man, and so forth.
I squatted 4 plates last week.
I saw you, man.
Yeah.
I saw you good. You know, listen, you got good technique.
I felt that one the next day.
I'm sure you did. That low back, man. Listen, that low back is no joke.
Well, I got that belt on, man.
Yeah.
I got that belt. Like I look like a 4-year-old kid going out to like rollerblades. Oh, there it is again. Oh yeah. Just keep doing it, man.
I'm trying to give you the choice cuts.
There you go. Ready? Oh, bring it to American Airlines Arena. This is music, ladies and gentlemen. Oh my God, so good. You never told me what your favorite. Oh, you said The Pot, right? Yeah, you gotta play The Pot now for Rashad. Though it's not like a galvanizing song like 46-2 is. 46-2, you're like yeah. The Pot, he starts off with like a super high voice.
It's different. That's why I like it.
It's very different. It's very different. Where the hell was I, man?
The fight.
Let's get into the fight.
The fight.
Oh, I was just saying at the gym.
Uh-huh.
I look like a 4-year-old rollerblading for the first time. You know, like the elbow pads, the wrist pads,
yeah.
the palm pads, the shoulder pads, the
yeah.
helmet. Like I got the knee wraps on. I got the belt on.
Okay, so question. So I
So I've never used the knee wraps. Mm-hmm. What is the purpose of the knee wraps?
Stability. Okay. Stability. Because I've torn my ACL.
Okay.
I've had microfracture surgery.
Uh-huh.
I tore my meniscus.
Damn.
So, you know, stability. Yeah. Stability.
Man, you were like you're like washed up there a little bit.
Yeah, man. I played too much ball at the LA Fitness back in the day, man. I tore my ACL in intramural basketball at FIU.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Now, when it happened, did you know it was torn?
Oh yeah, yep. Well, I didn't know it was torn because I didn't know what a torn ACL was.
Uh huh.
This was 2005.
But like you went down to the ground.
Oh my! It sounded like a tree trunk snapped.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I screamed like a little girl.
Ooh. Yeah.
And they had to wheelchair me out. I knew something bad was happening. It was like I had headphones and they were plugged into my knee.
Now, funny story. Well, it's not really funny, but
it's not funny at all, Rashad.
Well, no, for me. I wouldn't say I fell off my Segway, but I was riding my Segway.
What?
Yeah, so this
Butler had a Segway?
Well, courtesy of Arian Foster, he gave it to the entire offensive line because after the 2010 season, he led the league in rushing. He was the rushing champ, and he rewarded us the next season with Segways. And so I never really rode my Segway that much as far as outside of the training facility, and I took it home and I had it with me the entire time. So when I was done playing football, I used to use it all the time. I actually upgraded to the ones that had the bigger wheels, because you know you can ride because you can ride that one outside like on heavy terrain. So I'm riding that one outside, and there's a curb. So I don't know for what strange odd reason I thought, okay, I can make it over this curb with the big wheels, and it didn't happen. So rule number one, the main rule when riding a Segway, if you step off or if you fall off, you let go of the handlebars, because if not, then it can twist you and turn you all different directions. So I broke the cardinal sin, and I stepped off because I tripped off, and I held on to one of the handlebars, and it went a certain direction. My knee kind of followed it, and I heard a snap. And I actually partially tore my ACL, but I knew something was serious because I was on the ground and I wasn't really screaming, but I was kind of like, oh man, like that didn't really feel right. And I tried to get up and walk, and I could walk, but I had like a really, really heavy limp. And I went to the doctor because that happened on a Friday. So I had
to actually. Were you still in the NFL?
No, I was done. Okay. So like this, like maybe like 2015 ish, like 2 years out. And I went to the doctor actually that Monday. But luckily, I had, like, a game ready. So, like, the entire weekend, I, like, listen, I lived like, with the game ready on my knee, like, just icing it and just kind of trying to get the swelling down. And I went to the doctor, had an MRI, and, yeah, I partially tore my ACL.
Did you do the Ryan Tannehill recovery where you don't do surgery?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
There you go.
No surgery.
Look at that, man.
No surgery.
Now, the ACL heals itself?
Well, the great thing the doc said that, I guess, in my training with my trainers throughout the years, I had very strong quad muscles, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So he said that if my quad muscles weren't so strong, then the ACL would have snapped completely. So he said, you know, you can.
What's the most gruesome injury you've ever had?
Ooh, the tricep tendon tears. Like I've torn both of my tricep tendons.
That's because of the pushing, right?
Yes, I've torn both of my tricep tendons completely off the elbow insertion at the back of the elbow.
That's something you know right away.
So,
right?
Yeah, because I tried to do this with I tried to lift my arm up and I could only go like halfway because like the tendon was literally rolled up into my triceps.
Oh.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's something like you know what happens right away. You're out,
because
you're done.
Yeah, because it's loud. Because you know tendons are strong, so anytime a tendon pops, like you can hear it from like a mile away, like something happened. Yeah.
Oh. Uh-huh. Yeah. Dan, you ever had anything happen to you? Fall off the tree to go take your once a week bathroom?
Yeah,
visit?
Actually, I think this is like the third or fourth year anniversary. The day before Mardi Gras in New Orleans, I was riding my bicycle home at around midnight when I got off of work, and a drunk driver nailed me, and ooh. I got three fractures in my leg.
Damn, I did not. Wow.
I didn't have any surgery. I didn't miss a day of work.
Thank God for that, man. Jeez.
Yeah. I mean, luckily, they screeched kind of and stopped. It was a hit and run. They ran off because they were drunk and they were scared to get caught.
Damn, that sucks, man.
Yeah, they were coming off of the interstate. It was kind of like a roundabout, and luckily, they screeched, and they knocked me off my bike, and I had three fractures. So, yeah, that's about the worst I ever had.
Wow.
That's rough, man.
That is rough, rough. Jeez.
I mean, I've gotten stitches twice, tore my ACL.
Uh-huh.
But the microfracture surgery was not like a specific injury.
Okay.
Microfracture for me was like just a over time, the degradation of the knee joint.
Yeah.
To where they had to drill the holes.
Yeah.
In the, because if you don't know what a microfracture is, they drill tiny microfractures into your knee. Mm-hmm. So the blood will clot. And
now, is that your right or left knee?
My left knee.
Okay.
Same one I tore my ACL on.
Okay.
So I've had two major surgeries on my left knee already.
Yeah.
This just came down. Mayor Francis Suarez on Twitter puts up, Miami has always been Wade County, but today it's official. After giving Dwayne Wade the key to the city, we're now designating the street fronting Biscayne Boulevard as Dwayne Wade Boulevard.
I love it.
This solidifies D-Wade not only as a Miami Heat hero, but a city of Miami hero. And then, of course, he adds at Brendan Tobin. How about that, man? Biscayne Boulevard is now going to be, what, Dwayne Wade Boulevard? Is that it?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
Dwayne Wade Boulevard.
Wow. A two-year battle for Brendan Tobin.
Yeah.
It's finally come to a head here. We talked about this in the beginning of the segment here, Rashad. The fight this weekend. Did you get a chance to watch it?
Oh, yes.
Did you go out with Vlad?
Uh-huh, yeah, Vlad and I went to the Cheetahs in Hollandale. We advertise it a lot. They took care of us. We were able to watch the fight. And actually, I was the only one out of Vlad and Brian who picked Tyson Fury. Now, I picked Tyson in a decision. Brian and Vlad, they both picked Deontay in a knockout.
Yeah. What was it? Fury dominated that fight.
He did, man. I mean, from just like the opening bell.
He is an interesting person.
He is. But you know what? I think he's interesting because anyone that knows his story, he suffered through some dark times with mental illness. You know, and I think anytime someone is able to come out on the opposite end of that, you look at life a lot differently than the average person who may have not gone through the darkest of the darkest of the dark times. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, I heard his story, I want to say maybe last year or so, like after, you know, he kind of had that first fight with Deontay. And I'm like, wow, I'm like, this guy actually like was on the verge of like killing himself. Like, I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't watch the fight live.
Uh-huh.
I kind of watched it the next morning and the highlights. And, I mean, he dominated.
He did.
They threw in the towel, right? Uh-huh. Wilder side threw in the towel.
Had a busted eardrum.
You were watching the fight. Uh-huh. That was the right move.
Yeah, listen, I think so because anytime a guy is bleeding profusely out of his ear, I mean, I know Deontay was like, listen, I'm a warrior. I want to go down like a champion. But I'm sure you don't want to have to be deaf for the rest of your life. I'm sure like no one wants to have that on them. You know what I mean? If they can prevent it. So, I mean, I think his corner did the right thing because, again, if a guy is bleeding profusely out of his ear, like, I mean, something's not right. You know what I mean? Like, I have to protect you in the long run from yourself right now.
Look at this tweet. Jose Altuve was loudly booed before his first at-bat of spring training.
Not surprised, man.
It's going to be a long season for that team. And you see Mike Fiers? Mike Fiers was applauded yesterday.
That's crazy, man.
You hate Mike Fiers, huh?
Listen, hate's a strong word. I dislike just how he went about doing it. Now, again, I'm not condoning what the Astros did. I mean, I think that's awful. And I'm glad that, you know, they are suffering some type of harsh criticism from the fan base and players.
That championship needs to be taken away.
But I'm not going to sit here and I'm not going to applaud, you know, Mike Fiers for what he did because, again, I mean, okay, so Brian and I, we pulled this up. There's actually pictures of him online celebrating getting champagne showered. Yeah. Like, again, I'm just not cool with that because my thing is if you weren't cool with that, fine, but don't celebrate because when you celebrate, now you're saying, okay, what? I'm fine with it.
Let's get more into that on the other side because I didn't have a change of heart,
uh-huh.
but I think I understood more where you were coming from.
Okay.
After I saw them talk about it on ESPN, because you and I were like, we did not see eye to eye on this
at all.
And we're like, because we have a Twitter group, Vlad and Brian, and it's usually you and me.
Yeah.
You know, the other guys, they sprinkle in here and there, but you and me, sometimes we just have like these long conversations.
We do.
And I think it was Thursday night, and we're just like, we did not see eye to eye on this at all. We'll talk about it more. I want to get Dan's opinion on that because I think what they said on ESPN about it was true, Rashad.
Yeah.
And so I want to see if it follows suit with Dan as well. We'll talk about the Houston Astros on the other side. Zach Schwartz, Rashad Butler here on 560 The Joe, WQAM. Who are you to wave your finger? You must have been out your Check this one out, Rashad. Put those headphones on. That's The Pot by Tool. Just builds and builds and builds. A little bongos. This band is good, so good, man. There it is.
You must have been.
Okay.
Which
I like it so far.
Most of the listeners and people at the concert will be just like Maynard singing high.
Yes, on the pot.
God, it reeks at a Tool concert.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. So same as Incubus. Same as Incubus.
Gotta hide out at work the next two days because you got that secondhand secondhand.
Another trade here for the Panthers. As the NHL trade deadline has about 19 minutes left. Panthers have traded for Dallas Stars defenseman Emil.
Give it a shot.
The Juice.
The Juice.
D-J-U-S-E.
Yeah.
Juice.
The Juice.
For a sixth round pick.
Okay.
So we'll see if this.
How many rounds are in the NHL draft?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah. Has to be a lot, right?
Yeah. It's kind of like baseball. Baseball has like 40 rounds. let's see how many rounds there are. That's a good question, Rashad.
Sorry to put you on the spot like that, but I just had to know.
Seven rounds, maybe?
Oh, huh.
Is
okay.
Seven?
See, I would have thought a lot more.
I would have thought a lot more,
yeah.
Too.
Huh.
Oh, there it is. Look at that, a slapping bass there, man. Oh, so good. Seven rounds of 31 picks.
Huh, okay.
There you go.
See?
It's almost like the NFL.
I learned so much more on this show about hockey than I think I've learned over the past, decade?
Because I try to at least address it.
No, you do.
Right? And same thing with the Marlins. Yeah. Like, when baseball season, you know,
I'm not that bad with baseball. I'm pretty well-versed in baseball. But hockey? No shot. No. Like, no shot with hockey.
Yeah, but you didn't know who Zach Gallen was a year ago.
That's true. I didn't.
And you knew who he was.
You're
I
right.
was really upset when they traded him.
Yeah. You're right.
Can you remember who they traded him for?
No, I can't. It was some hitters, correct?
It was a shortstop.
Shortstop, okay. Young kid, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Damn it. What the hell was it? Jazz Chisholm.
Yes.
That was his name.
Uh-huh.
And he's 21 years old. And he's still in the minor league system for the Dolphins, so or for the Marlins, I should say. All right, so real quick, Dan, you are you up to date with like what David Ortiz said about Mike Fiers, all the former players, how they've kind of been against Mike Fiers coming out and being the snitch that released the information to the world about what the Houston Astros were doing.
I'm sure David Ortiz said something very intelligent. He always does. But they called. Fiers is basically a snitch, correct?
According, it depends on who you ask.
Yeah, I agree.
This was David Ortiz said that he did not agree with what Mike Fiers did, and so it led Rashad to tweet in our group that he agreed with David Ortiz.
Oh yeah. Snitches get stitches.
Well, hold on here. So I go not at Rashad, but.
Uh-huh.
You know, we have a conversation. I say, I don't care how I got the information. I want to know that there was wrong being done.
And that's fair.
And I don't care how I got the information.
No, listen, and that's fair. I agree with that.
Now, Rashad's take is, you know, you celebrated with them. You partook in it, which I don't agree that he partook because he was a pitcher. You know, he didn't bat on the team. But I guess by association, right? Guilty by association.
Yeah, because, again, I'm just assuming, that he was aware that this was going on. Now, my whole thing is like this, Dan. Even though you may not be cool with it, because I think Mike Fiers admitted that he was never on board with this, but you knew about it. And then on top of that, when they won the 2017 World Series, there's pictures of him with goggles, champagne showering, having the blast.
So it's like you reap the benefits from this, and now you leave, and now you wanna tell, like why?
I'm guessing he figured in his mind he could separate the two, that he and the pitchers deserved the World Series while the batters didn't. They did their job and the batters did their own thing, and therefore he can celebrate. But I don't see why you would ever snitch. Like that's just
because listen, I guess the problem with me comes in is you're in a locker room, and a locker room is a sacred place. And I'm not naive to believe that everyone gets along, because I've been in some locker rooms where we had full on brawls between teammates or amongst teammates. But at the end of the day, we just knew that. You know what I mean? Like no media personnel knew like what was going on. But at the same time, it's a code of ethics that has to be followed. Like, listen, whatever we do in here is between us and it stays in between us. And listen, you may not have a problem with it, but if you're gonna sit here and, you know, condone it, and if you're gonna sit here and celebrate with us once we reap the benefits of from whatever wrongdoing we're doing, then like you just shouldn't be able to snitch, in my opinion. That's it.
So my whole point of view on this was I don't care how I got the information.
And that's fair.
I can see. I didn't see where you're coming from a week ago, right? Yeah. Then they had this discussion on First Take, and here's the panel. It was Mike Greenberg. He threw it to Jeff Passan, who's the biggest baseball writer right now for ESPN.
Correct.
Then when they came back to the studio at Get Up, they went to God. Who are the three? It was Tim Legler.
Marcus Spears. And I can't think of the last person.
Desmond Howard.
Yes, Desmond Howard. You're correct.
Three former athletes all said the same thing that Rashad said. And that's when I said, all right, maybe I'm coming at it from a completely different perspective. Because when all former athletes say the same thing that Rashad is saying, I must not be understanding that dynamic. Because obviously, the last time I was in a locker room was my high school lacrosse team. Okay, and it doesn't even compare to a collegiate locker room or a professional locker room where you're kind of growing up together, right?
Mm-hmm.
I see, you know, when I played lacrosse, it was for 1 hour a day.
Yeah,
you guys are growing up as young men and then men in the world together, and that's what you're saying. You don't take that outside of the locker room.
Yeah.
So I think maybe now, Rashad, I kind of understand a little bit. I still feel the same way. And I don't think that's going to change because I haven't been through what you've been through.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been in a locker room, you know, developing bonds with 20 different guys for years.
Yeah,
I've never been in that situation.
Because, listen, I agree with you on the aspect of the truth needed to be out. But my whole thing is this. If you wanted the truth to be out, Mike Friars, just keep yourself anonymous. Because now when you attach your name to it, because I know Brian said he loves the fact that he attached his name to it. But I'm like, Brian, at the end of the day, what he did, if he attached his name to it, which he did, it's he's going to be viewed as a snitch because, again, he was in that locker room and he reaped the benefits of the whole entire scandal. I mean, he was actually celebrating. I mean, he was giving champagne showers and getting champagne showers himself with the goggles on. I mean, so at some point you were cool with what was going on by celebrating with the team.
So Dan, you see it from Rashad and the athlete perspective, huh?
100%.
That's interesting. I thought it would be people like Dan and myself who've never been in that locker room scenario felt this way, and the athletes felt that way.
But you know what? I am happy that the truth got out. I just wish that if Mike Friars wanted this truth to be out so badly, just keep yourself anonymous because it makes it look better on your behalf. Plain and simple.
Yeah, I mean, I personally know he got applause yesterday,
and that's crazy to me, man. Like
his ass.
I agree because I said Zach, I said this to Brian. I said if I was a teammate in that locker room, the next time I saw him, I would punch him in the face. Like we're fighting. Because, my man, like, you sat in this locker room.
In the Houston Astros.
Yeah. Like, listen, you sat in this locker room with us. You joked. You know, you conversed. You turned up with us. You celebrated with us.
Probably got a little bonus, too.
Yeah. Like,
he took that money for sure.
And he took that ring. Like, my man, like, come on. Like, listen, no questions asked. I would run up on him if I saw him and punch him in the face. No questions asked. We're fighting.
Okay. All right. I'm not fighting with him.
I'll fight him.
I think, I mean, man, Major League Baseball needs to take that damn championship away already, huh? Can we at least agree on that?
No.
No. No, listen, it's just.
Wow.
You know why? Because wow. To me, it's just.
Oh, man, we got 5 minutes.
No, listen. I'm going to tell you why, Zach. It should have been done immediately. Like, to me, this should have been the first thing Rob Manfred did. But now to go back on it and do it. Now, again, if it is done, I understand it's the right thing to do. But at this point, it makes you look even more weaker as the commissioner of baseball.
No, I don't agree. I don't think that admitting you made a mistake makes you look weak. Because that's what it is. Rob Manfred made a mistake. They did not take away this championship, and they should have. Because now what you're going to do is you're going to tell the 13-year-old kid out, and here, let me
uh-huh,
give me
ahead.
A minute here.
Go
I know
ahead.
We
no,
only
no,
got
no,
4 minutes,
no.
But
listen, go ahead.
You're going to tell the 13-year-old kids out there that you can cheat in baseball, you will not get suspended, and you will not get your championship taken away. And furthermore, if a pitcher goes out and hits Jose Altuve in the first game of the season, that guy's going to get a 15-game suspension, but the Houston Astros are not? There's something wrong in the world. There's something wrong in the world when a pitcher is going to get suspended for beaning one of the Houston Astros, which, by the way, they absolutely deserve to get beaned the way they're acting and behaving ever since the apology, and those guys are going to get nothing.
I agree, but it's actually something wrong with the world that now we're applauding a snitch.
Eh, I don't know.
And that's my opinion.
Zach, I don't need you telling the boss that we put this Tool music in, okay? I'm not worried about Rashad. Rashad's cool.
I like that word, Dan. Listen, Dan, I didn't hear nothing, my man. I didn't hear a damn thing.
Zach?
What?
We're together on this, right?
Yeah. I'm celebrating right now.
Uh-oh. You're enjoying the music.
He was, right?
And then you're going to go, oh,
yep,
man.
Yep.
I got a meeting with Len after the
I'll
show.
I'll never see you guys again.
That is so funny.
That is, man. Well played, Dan.
So
well
funny.
Played.
Looks like the guy that the Panthers just traded for is an AHL defenseman, so not even playing
okay.
at the
AHL.
What are the –
Hey, they got a goalie that came in off the – beer truck and played for Carolina and did good this weekend.
Yeah, so now the Florida Panthers are going to make a great move. $70 million in the offseason. Guy can't stop a nosebleed.
he doesn't drink enough.
Yo, every time I look at the Panthers box score,
and that money's guaranteed, right?
They've given up, yes, all of it.
Oh, my God,
all of it.
Man.
Every time I look at the Panthers box score, 5 goals, 4 goals,
yeah,
6 goals. There was one game where the Panthers gave up 1 goal, and they still lost. You remember it was that game where Bobrovsky stopped like 44 shots, and it went into overtime? And I was like, okay, well, they lost, but at least Bobrovsky looked good. Maybe this is the turn. The next game, pulled in the second quarter, or second period. Mm. How many times has Bobrovsky got pulled this year?
Ooh. That's a good question.
God. What a disappointing Panther season. How did we bookend the show with Panthers talk?
Well, listen, it made sense because we started it with Panthers.
Well, it's the NHL trade deadline. That's how, too. Because the trade deadline.
Kudos to you for doing that. That's all on you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I try. Plus, this is the radio home of the Florida Panthers.
Okay.
Yeah. Trade deadline is wrapping up in 6.5 minutes here. All right. Coming up at 3 o'clock, we're going to join the simulcast of the Hockman and Crowder Show. Crowder's out today. You'll get Alex Dono. Dan Day will be there. Alex Solano will be there. I'm sure they'll have a grand old time. Rashad, you and I will be back on the air tomorrow at our normal spot,
mm-hmm.
6 to 10 with Brian Monroe. Be a little roundtable show. We're going to talk to Ira Winderman tomorrow. I'm going to try and get Travis on the show. Travis is now bigwig. I got to go through the Dolphins now.
Yeah. But listen, I'm going to do my best to get one of my good friends I've been conversing with on Twitter about a guy by the name of Zach Moore who does some work for OverTheCap.com, a guy that knows everything and everything about the NFL salary cap. So I think he'll be a good talk.
Yeah. I will not be here tomorrow because you're going to snitch on me.
I wouldn't doubt it, Dan.
Can you put more Tool songs in before you?
Yeah, before I snitch on you, make it worth my while and so that I can hear more.
Before I snitch on you. All right.
I got permission. It's cool.
All right. You can follow me on Twitter at 790. Zach Rashad is at Rashad Jamal B. Dan Day is at Dan Day Radio. Again, coming up next, we'll join the Hockman and Crowder simulcast We'll also keep you apprised if we hear anything in terms of the NHL trade deadline, which is going to wrap up in about 5.5 minutes here, and also any news on Jimmy Butler, who will not play tonight. We don't know why, but we'll keep you apprised on both of our radio stations. Zach Duarte, Rashad Butler, signing off right here on 560 The Joe, WQAM.